All right, if you're ready with your Bibles, I'll get my Bible. Let's open to the book of Philippians for our Philippians study, and we'll just jump right in. Not a long lesson tonight, but an important one. Maybe one of the most important passages that a Christian could hear. I'd say to you after, about 20 years of trying my best to be a pastor, that one of the greatest difficulties that Christians face, including me, is in our Christian life, is trying to understand why things go the way they go, trying to understand the why behind the troubles, the trials, the heartaches, and the disappointments that come up in our lives. And it's easy to say these things happen to everybody, because they do. It's easy to say that's just part of life in a sin-cursed world, and it is. But none of that supplies the joy and rejoicing that Philippians says should be and could be ours, even during those times. If somehow or another we could make some sense out of our hardship, if some way or another we could be convinced that there was some benefit to the trials of our life, maybe then it would lighten the load just a little bit. How many times have you heard somebody who, you know, they know nothing about God, nothing of the scriptures, they've never been born again, and here comes some news reporter that sticks a microphone in their face in a bad time in their life, in their deepest need, and he says, "Well, how do you feel?" And they say something to the fact, "Well, you know, we know something good's going to come out of this. We know the good Lord had a purpose in all of this." Those are just vain and empty words if you're not saved. If you are saved, yeah, it's possible you could speak those words, those same words, with genuine certainty and genuine conviction and mean it. So let's go ahead. Let's look at there's two verses we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 1. And then we'll break it down and discuss it together. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. "But I would ye should understand." Well, that's good. That means it's God's will that we understand this. This is the Holy Spirit speaking, Paul the Apostle recording. "I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." All right, three verses there we read. Okay, so first of all, in verse number 12, notice that it is possible to have some understanding of the reason for the troubles and trials in our life. The man who was recording these words, hey, he's in bonds. Yeah, he's in Christ. Everywhere he goes, he is in Christ. He's never outside of Christ, but he's in Christ in bonds. Okay, he's locked up. He's a prisoner. He's in a jailhouse, and not for doing wrong, but for doing right. Not for sinning, but for telling men and women how they can be free from sin. And from this jail cell, he says, "I want you to understand that some very good things are resulting from this very bad situation." Okay? Second, in verse number 12, he says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren." Okay, brethren. If you are not saved, first of all, you cannot understand. And second of all, you have no guarantee that the things that are happening to you serve any benefit whatsoever to you or anyone else. Let me give you that oft-quoted, and rightly so, verse from Romans chapter 8, in verse number 28, where the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good. Okay, well, that's not the verse. That is the first half of the verse. The verse says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right, so if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have answered the call to trust him and be saved, well then for you, all things work together for good. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything in your life works together, and then you die and go to hell. You spend eternity in a lake of fire. You couldn't possibly say everything worked together for good in the life of a lost man, a lost woman. No, to them, it says, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that purpose is stated in the next verse, verse 29, as being to conform saved people to the image of Jesus Christ. So first of all, it is possible to understand, and it is the Holy Spirit's will that we do understand. Secondly, only brethren can understand that there is a benefit to their trials and troubles, because only in the life of saved people is there benefit to trials and troubles. And then he says, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened. Okay, that's the exact language that we use to this very day. I can't believe that happened, right? Look what happened. This word happened speaks to the fact that some things just come along. Some things, they just befall us. This word shows up in the book of Ruth. If you want to take a look there, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and verse number 3. Ruth, chapter 2, and verse number 3. The Bible says there in verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, H-A-P, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So the Bible says that it was her hap, okay, to work in that field, that part of the field. It just happened. Okay, nobody sent her there. Nobody directed her there. There was no specific plan to get her in that place. It's just the way things worked out. Okay, just give you an understanding of this word happened that shows up in Philippians chapter 1. Now, you got to understand that sometimes in this life, things happen to you that are not, they're not the punishment of God. They're not the judgment of God. They're not some strange and bizarre plan of God. Life is, it's not certain. Life is not predictable. In fact, the Bible says it this way in the book of Job, Job chapter 5 and verse number 6. Job 5, 6 says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Dust just shows up. There's no grand scheme or design on the part of people who want to cause you housework to slip in the middle of the night and scatter dust there. You know, that so that you have to clean it up. Dust just happens. It just shows up. Okay? Affliction cometh not forth of the dust. Okay, and then there's no great conspiracy of man or of God or of devils to plant troubles in our lives. It just shows up seemingly out of nowhere. So the first thing we need to understand is that we need to understand. Second thing, only brethren, saved people, can understand. And then third thing, it doesn't do any good to sit around and say, why did God do this to me? You have no evidence. You have no proof that God did that to you. Why did God let the devil do this to me? You have no proof whatsoever that the devil did anything. Trouble has been happening since Adam ate that fruit. And then in Philippians, it says that the things which, Paul speaking, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather. Okay, rather. So there's two options when you use that word rather, okay? Two options. The resolve of outworking of trouble could be something very hurtful and very bad in the long term, or the consequences of trouble could be something very helpful and very beneficial in the long term. And so you see how one of those would be a rather. One is to be preferred above the other. If I have got to go through some trouble, if I have got to go through some bad times, well, I hope that the result will be something good and something blessed rather than something that proves that all that trouble was just a great waste of time. So the scripture says we can be confident of this. We can be sure of this, that when the saved man, when the saved woman goes through trouble, the outworking of that trouble, the end result of that trouble, will be for the good, not for the bad. We will get the God-honoring rather as a consequence of our troubles and of our trials. Now, since we have to have trouble in this life, because it can't be avoided, since we have to have difficulty in this life, can't avoid it, at least we can look at the rather side of that equation and see that it will be beneficial. And to what end? To what end? The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. Okay, so I'll just give you some situations to think about as examples. Here's a Christian man. This man missed a great deal of work because of physical troubles and difficulties that actually landed him in the hospital. And after that hospital stay, he had to go through a long, lengthy recovery time. He was not placed in the hospital because God was breaking some body part because he didn't pay his tithe. He did not fall through a window where he was robbing a house. He did not get shot in the act of committing a felony. He was just living his life, and one day a physical problem struck, and he ended up in the hospital. And then, as a result of that lost work, his financial situation, well, that didn't improve. And as a result of that time in the hospital, his material situation was not made better. In fact, it was rather the worse. Doctor bills, hospital bills, medical bills, rehab time. That was real frustrating and very difficult. A lot of other setbacks that, look, if that's all you're looking at, that, you say that didn't provide any benefit whatsoever concerning this man's body. But through all of that, as this man leaned upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as he fellowshiped with the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was set apart from all the other duties and responsibilities in his life, and really had nothing to concentrate on but thoughts of Jesus, interspersed with all of his aches and pains and physical trouble, the end result is that man came out of this whole situation not with a better body, not with a better bank account, not with a better physical or material situation, but boy, he sure did come out of it as a better Christian, so that God can use him in a greater measure to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was a spiritual benefit as touching the furtherance of the gospel that resulted from this man's trial, from his trouble. Okay, that's one situation. Here's another man. He's saved. He was taken to the hospital. He had a heart attack. And he didn't have a heart attack because he was out on the dance floor or out in the bar getting drunk, not because he was abusing his body in some other way. No, he just suffered a heart attack because, well, we have physical bodies that wear out and fall apart. It just so happened that the affliction in his body was his heart. And so as he lay there in that hospital room, he was not better off financially. Because again, the doctor bills are piling up. He was not better off physically because he had a bad heart. He was not, it was not a good thing for his family. It was a very difficult, very trying thing for his family. And yet, as he lay in that bed, here comes the nurses. And they'd come in there and they'd hear that gospel. Now, he'd be able to talk to them about the gospel. Now, if as they came in one after another, this man had opportunities to give these nurses the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is, by the way, they would not hear that gospel. They would not give you their ear to hear that gospel if you went to their house and knocked on their door. Because they're not being paid. They're not being paid at their house to be nice to you and to help you. So they would not hear that gospel if you were preaching it out on a street corner and they were walking by. They're not being paid to stop and listen, and they wouldn't do it. So they're not coming to the church to hear the gospel. You know, they got other things to do on their day off. But here in the hospital, these nurses, they're individuals who are required by the duties of their employment to politely listen and engage in conversation with the patient to whom they're tending. So a man he's suffered a heart attack. Nothing good about that in any area of life but the spiritual area, because it allowed the gospel to go further into the hearts and into the lives of those nurses and doctors than it would have gone had this brother not experienced this trouble. See, if you're earthly minded, materially minded, if all that you do centers around material, temporal benefits, you'll never see the benefit and the most, and you'll never see the value in most of your troubles and trials, because, well, quite honestly, there's not one materially. But if our lives revolve around bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing others to the knowledge of that Savior, then it can be said that whatever happens to us can indeed result in the furtherance of the gospel. Hope you understand that. Hope you're always looking out for those opportunities when they come. In Paul's case, Philippians 1:13, he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He gained notoriety. Everybody heard about that guy. He became known by the general public by being in prison. Why is that man in jail? Asks the court officer. Oh, for preaching about Jesus. What does that mean? Well, something about this man who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he's the only way to heaven. See, so now you got people in the palace, people in the courtroom, people in the chambers, people around the dinner table talking about this man, his preaching, his gospel, his Jesus. People talking about him who don't even know the Lord, but they're being used to further the gospel. They're actually speaking the gospel, and they don't even know the Savior as they talk about this man who's in prison. The warden is told by the law enforcement and the judicial arm of the government, prisoner number 42 he's in jail for extortion. Prisoner number 43, he's in jail for armed robbery. Prisoner number 44, he's in jail for setting forth a strange god. What? Why is he in here with all these other criminals? Well, we're not sure, but there was sure was a big uprising. Well, what caused the uprising? Well, he said that this one Jesus rose from the dead. So now, men, they're discussing the gospel, who otherwise would not have done so, all because of Paul's troubles, all because of the bonds in which he finds himself. And then in verse 14, he says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing," okay, that means growing, okay, increasing. We still use that word. The moon is waxing, the moon is waning. Okay, so it's not an outdated term, waxing. "Confident by my bonds are much more bold." Now, wouldn't it be good if someone, because of Paul's willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ, if someone was made bold? You got to admit, a man comes along, he says, "I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and he's so wonderful, he's so changed my life, I would do anything for him." Well, yeah, that sounds good when you're sitting in a restaurant eating a nice meal. That sounds good when you can go home and sleep in your nice warm bed. But when you're being beaten and imprisoned, and that does not change your confidence and your willingness to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is going to make others bold, and that's a good thing. But it goes beyond that. They were not only made bold, it says they were made more bold. Some were never bold, who were never bold, they were made bold, and some that were already a little bold, they were made more bold. And then it says some of the brethren were much more bold. See that? So some who were not bold were made bold by Paul's trouble in a way that they were not emboldened when he was not in trouble. Some who were bold, they were made more bold when he was in trouble in a way that they were not emboldened when he was not in trouble. And then those who were more bold, they were made much more bold as they saw the way that he suffered, as they saw the way that he endured, as they saw the attitude of his heart, the strength that the Lord gave him, the unfailing, unwavering joy and certainty that this man had in the promises of God through Jesus Christ that benefited every one of their lives. Brothers and sisters, I don't like trouble. I'm pretty sure you don't like trouble. I don't like hardship and difficulty. I wouldn't ask for it. And I'm certain that you don't like hardship and difficulty. Pretty sure of that. If we didn't know Jesus Christ, I could not tell you today that there's any good result from hardship and trouble. If I knew Jesus Christ today, but all I cared about was temporal, material comfort, you know, worldly prosperity and things like that, I could not tell you that there's any benefit or any advantage to trouble and hardship. Could not do it. But if your desire, and if my desire as saved people, if that desire is the furtherance of the gospel, then the scripture says that those things which happen unto us have a long-term beneficial result in causing the gospel to go further than it ever would have gone before. Reason one, it provokes discussion. Why is that person suffering joyfully? How could he have a smile on his face when he's going through that? What is it that they believe? What is it that they're living for? What is it that governs them, that makes them willing to go through that in that way? Okay, provokes discussion. And reason two, the gospel is furthered because Other Christians, when they see their brothers and sisters in Christ suffer without wavering, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, bear their burden without turning back, without turning aside, it fills them with a greater assurance and a greater certainty that Jesus is real, that Jesus is all that he claimed to be, that Jesus is worth living for, worth suffering for, worth dying for. And any time a Christian is made bold, any time a Christian is made strong, they tell others about Jesus. And it helps. It helps further the gospel. So I would say to you, while none of us would sign up for hardship and difficulty, all of us are going to have hardship and difficulty. And while none of us welcome troubles and trials, all of us are better for our troubles and our trials. And yet, it's just up to the individual to trust in the Lord, to lean on the Holy Spirit, so that we might receive the full benefit and so that others might receive the full benefit of the difficulties that are bound to come in our lives. See, I told you that at the start of this lesson, this was an important passage of Scripture. And I trust that you've seen how important it is to have a right Bible mindset with regard to the troubles and the difficulties that are going to arise in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that though we know we can't escape the troubles that happen, we can see that there are great opportunities to further the gospel and to respond properly as we go through these trials, that others might benefit and that we might also have a spiritual benefit, and our brothers and sisters in Christ can also be emboldened. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that as we find ourselves in these situations, you'll help us to remember Philippians chapter 1, to remember how Paul went through much greater suffering than we probably ever will, and yet he did it with a smile on his face and with a purpose in his heart to tell others about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.